Welcome to Financial Perspectives, the podcast. Join the team at Foster Group and our expert guests as we explore a variety of subjects that could impact your financial life. We will cover timely economic and financial market news, a wide range of personal financial planning ideas, and investment topics. Ultimately, we want to encourage educated optimism and do our best to provide valuable insights to help you navigate your financial journey with confidence. Please stick around at the end for important disclosure information. More information about Foster Group can be found in our ADV brochure at fostergrp.com.
Welcome to this episode of Financial Perspectives. Today, we're diving into a topic that is more top of mind, especially at this time of year, and one that affects almost every investor throughout the year, tax strategy. Specifically, how managing taxes fits into your overall financial plan and making sure the decisions you make support the plan. Whether you're facing something complex like selling farm ground, selling a business, or receiving company stock, or if you're simply trying to decide between a mutual fund and an ETF, taxes show up at every stage of an investor's life cycle. Joining me to begin the conversation is Senior Lead Advisor at Foster Group, Marcus Iwig. Marcus, thank you for joining me.
Happy to be here.
So Marcus, you have many couples that come into your office and they're in different stages of life and they have unique financial circumstances. What is your approach to financial planning when it comes to tax strategy for these couples? And maybe think about, a couple that's still in their working years.
Yeah, great question. So I think, first of all, we are planners, right? We do kind of tax consulting with our clients, maybe in conjunction with their CPA or tax preparer. But we primarily focus on helping them be tax efficient and prepare for that next stage of life. I think it's important to remember that everybody's different and the way they accumulate money, the way they plan to spend it is all different. And often you can read articles in our industry that, give tax strategies and things like that. And they're really in a vacuum. And the reality is every client we work with is different in some regard. So that's the first thing. And you have to really understand their goals. Tax planning needs to be additive to an overall financial plan and their goals. You don't want, as we like to say around here, the tax tail to wag the dog. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to maybe kind of start to let that happen. So that's kind of the big picture stuff we're thinking about. Maybe the best thing to do is just kind of draw out a couple examples here just to highlight just how different things can be, even though on the surface they look similar. So
yeah, I love that.
Imagine we have two couples, couple A and couple B. Couple A has been working for maybe a few different organizations throughout their career, and they've been that consistent saver out of their wages all along the way. And most people save in a couple different buckets. We throw around the terms qualified, which really just means tax preference, generally pre-tax. Your 401k, you put money in out of your wages, and that's not taxed when it goes in. It's taxed when you spend it later and it comes out of the 401k. So couple A maybe has $2 million in 401ks. Again, that's all pre-tax. And maybe they've also saved some of their wages after they've maxed out their 401ks, because there's a max on that too. And maybe they have $2 million in a brokerage account that they've invested all along the way. Now keep in mind, a brokerage account, you're gonna be taxed on the gains in there, usually at a more friendly rate, somewhere between maybe 0% if you're lucky, but 15 or 20% generally speaking. So they have $4 million total. One key thing about them is all of their investable assets that they've saved are what we call liquid, meaning they're invested, but they could be sold to cash within a day or two, generally speaking. Couple B also has $4 million, but they own a business. And the way they've accumulated their investments, which is very common, is maybe they've saved a little bit in a qualified plan, like a 401k or a simple IRA. So maybe they have $1 million there, but they've really invested a lot of their excess savings back into their business and grown it over the years. So their business might be worth $3 million for a total of $4 million. Now their business, the key differentiator here is it's not liquid. We have a sale event that has to happen to create the liquidity for them to spend in retirement. And we need to work with that, figure out the best way to do that. And they likely have a big gain in that business that is going to be incurred probably in a single year, maybe 2 or 3 years, but within a short period of time as they sell their business. So as we think about working with clients in their working years, we're thinking about how do we create tax diversification and liquidity to make all their goals come together as they plan for retirement.
Yeah, and there's intricacies around that, right? And we have some, you know, tools in our toolbox that can help them with that. I mean, clearly they've both been working hard, right? And have retirement goals or legacy goals. So what if you get to that point now where it's retirement and or you have a big taxable event, in the case of couple B with the $3 million business, how does the planning shift then in that phase?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, we talk about goals. That's a really key phrase because we have a lot of tools in the toolbox for investments to kind of manage taxes wisely. But it really comes down to what their goals are. So if somebody's very charitably inclined versus somebody maybe who doesn't have big charitable goals, that might impact how we invest money from different things like a business sale. But for a single event like a business sale, we've got some tools like a separately managed account that allows us to, you know, capture tax losses and investments a little easier that could be used to offset those gains from a business sale should we be able to get them. We could use something called a donor advised fund where we set aside maybe 2, 3, 4 years of charitable gifting during the year of the business sale. So we get that tax deduction that year, but then the client can give those funds out in the next 2, 3, or 4 years. Again, we're using the client's goals as we use those tools, but we're just hopefully enhancing their tax situation a little bit when we do that.
Yeah, very helpful. And so we mentioned in the beginning too, like that $3 million asset, you know, we're using the example of a business here, but it could be farmland.
Yeah.
It could be incentive stock.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of different ways that could look.
Oh, for sure. I mean, in Iowa, we see all kinds of clients who have inherited or owned farms that are going to have a sale of a farm, either around retirement or in retirement. And certainly as people are in the latter years of their career, we often see a significant stock option or restricted stock vests in single years that were, you know, again, we're just trying to mitigate any unnecessary tax drag by being wise about that as we think about planning maybe in their final years of work and into their retirement years.
Yeah, I love your illustration. It really shows how there's a lot of unique circumstances in play and why maybe hiring a professional, you know, to come in and help with this could be advantageous, right? I mean, everyone wants to minimize their tax.
Yeah, for sure. And we just covered a few different possibilities. I mean, we haven't talked about other income sources and when people might file for Social Security. There's a lot of different ways for people to think about that. And importantly, the tax implications of those decisions, too. They all need to come together to support a client's financial plan and goals.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's shift gears now and talk about how investments come into play when it comes to tax strategy. Joining us now is Michael Westfall. Michael is the Director of Investments at Foster Group and leads a team of analysts and traders in order to get optimal tax strategy for our clients. Michael, welcome to the conversation. So you heard Marcus talking a little bit about how clients may have different types of accounts. He used the example of couple A and couple B. From an investment perspective, I mean, is there one sort of investment that works with all of these accounts?
Yeah, I mean, ETFs are very tax efficient in taxable accounts, and you know they really manage capital gains particularly well compared to mutual funds. Now, they're great in a non-taxable account or a qualified account as well because you're not actually paying for that tax efficiency. So they really work great in both types of accounts.
Yeah, I can understand then why they've had such a rise in popularity. What about the types of investments that are more well-suited to a particular vehicle or a particular type of account? I know you're well-schooled in all of these also.
Sure. So income-oriented strategies often are going to be better in a qualified account because that income can be taxed as ordinary income, and that's not really efficient. We don't want that. Illiquid strategies, on the other hand, might not be very suited for a qualified account where there's going to be, in the future, a required minimum distribution or an RMD, because if you need to make that distribution and you can't sell your security, well, you're stuck. That's not a good situation that we want to be in. On the flip side, in a taxable account, municipal bonds might be very appropriate because the interest that municipal bonds pay is exempt from federal income taxes. We work with our advisory team to determine kind of the crossover point for when it is appropriate based on a client's tax rate and what the market is yielding for both taxable and municipal bonds to see what the best vehicle and option is for them.
Yeah, I love that collaboration, and we'll get back to that. But I also want to ask you a question. So we also talked about this big taxable event and the use of a SMA, or separately managed account. You know, your team is charged with sort of executing that behind the scenes, and our clients don't always get to see the work that's done there that is really benefiting them. Can you just walk us through the specifics of how that account works?
Sure. So when a client has a large taxable event, the coordination just becomes that much more important. So in these situations, like you said, we might use a tool called a separately managed account. We sometimes refer to it as an SMA as well. And what this does is it allows us to harvest losses at the individual security level. Those losses can offset the gains from something like a business sale. Couple B's, $3 million business sale, they're going to have the gain on that. We could possibly utilize that to offset the gain. So let's use couple B as an example, and let's say we take half of their proceeds from that business sale and put it into an SMA, and let's say it's going to track the S&P 500. So we're going to buy lots of securities to try and mimic the return of the S&P 500, and when some of those securities go down, we're going to sell those, capture the loss, use that loss to offset the gain of the business sale.
So is there a best time during the year to sell a business if you want to use this strategy?
As early as possible, the more days that you have to try and capture the dips in the market. Mm-hmm. If that dip happens January 2nd, you know, you can't go back in time and try to capture that. But there could be dips at any time of the year. Just the more days, the more probability we have of getting more losses. But we can still do it even today if we needed to.
So I know the way that we're organized with this centralized portfolio management function is a bit unique to Foster Group. And so it requires, you know, some collaboration between your team and the advisory team, Marcus. So maybe kind of, you know, tossing it back to you, how do you work with Michael and the portfolio management team to benefit clients when it comes to tax strategy?
Yeah, well, it's great because we get to spend our time focused on building plans for clients and all the things that we can help with there. And then we get to go to Michael and his team and give them kind of the facts and figure out what type of investment tool is going to be most tax efficient for them. So, you know, Michael alluded to it earlier. One thing, real example of this is as people go into retirement and sometimes other times, but that's a very often example, their tax rates change quite a bit. And so what Michael's team does is they provide us a regular update on the break-even point between taxable bonds and tax-exempt bonds because they have different rates. We can figure out what tax rate you need to be at to make those tax-exempt bonds provide more after-tax return. Michael's team gives that to us. We, through planning kind of and collaboration with the client's CPA, figure out what their tax rate is going to be or what it looks like it's going to be as they head into retirement. And we can flip them into the right bond portfolio so they experience the most after-tax yield as best as we can there. So, and then, you know, tax loss harvesting, as we know, we can see other gain events happening and things like that. We can inform his team and they'll, you know, tax loss harvest a little more aggressively if we know we've got some gains coming for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So
it really is the collaboration, the communication, and it's ongoing and, you know, unique to whatever client needs that there are out there. Yeah. I guess I also just want to address both of you and just ask, you know, kind of final thoughts. You both play different roles when it comes to tax strategy for the firm, but they're both important. So do you have any kind of parting words of wisdom or final thoughts you want to leave the audience with? And maybe we'll start with Marcus on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing to remember with tax is that it's usually a good thing if you're having to pay some tax, right? If you didn't owe any tax, things probably haven't gone very well. So it's easy to kind of get a little sideways if you're paying some tax, but remember that's a good thing. And then two, keep the bigger picture in mind. Like, we're going to do everything we can as advisors in collaboration with a client's CPA, in collaboration with our portfolio management team to assist clients in not paying any more tax than they need to. But at the end of the day, we want everything to support a specific goal and a specific plan. And tax is just, it's an additive. It's the icing on the cake, not the cake itself, mm-hmm. right? So it's always good to keep that in mind and then have a good team that's going to help you minimize that tax drag, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know that too many people would say tax is the icing on the cake.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Only a CPA.
Yeah.
How about you?
Sure. My advice would be pretty simple. You really need to lead with the merits of the investment and not let tax be your primary driver mm-hmm. of why you're selecting an investment in the first place. So my team is going to be hyper-focused on reducing tax drag within a portfolio, and then we're going to stay disciplined to the long-term strategy and our investment principles here at Foster Group.
Perfect. Thanks to both of you for joining us. It was a great conversation.
Thanks, Regan.
As we wrap up today's conversation, here's the key takeaway. Tax strategy matters, but it shouldn't be the first or only reason to choose an investment. Tools and strategies all have their time and place, but the right choice depends on your goals, your time frame, and your overall plan. At Foster Group, our entire team is ready to work together with the goal of optimizing your tax strategy. And as always, if you have any other topics you'd like to see us address, please let us know at our website, fostergrp.com. And if you're joining us on our podcast, would you consider giving us a like on your app and share with your friends? Until next time.
The previous presentation by Foster Group was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of, or as a substitute for, personalized investment advice from Foster Group or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy, or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content, will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Foster Group is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if Foster Group is engaged, or continues to be engaged, to provide investment advisory services. A copy of Foster Group's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.fostergrp.com/disclosures.